way they pick TV shows is they make one show. That show's called a pilot. Then they show that one show to the people who pick shows. And on the strength of that one show, they decide if they want to make more shows. Some get chosen and become television programs. Some don't. Become nothing.
Drop the Pilot, podcast dedicated to TV pilots that became nothing. I'm Jimmy.
And I'm Martin.
Today we're going to be talking about Rewind from 2013. It aired on 26th of August of that year. It was written by Justin Marks, who hasn't written much else. He created a TV show called Counterpart, which just got cancelled recently. It had J.K. Simmons in it. But he also wrote the screenplay to the movies The Jungle Book and the upcoming Top Gun sequel.
Top Gun.
And it was directed by Jack Bender, who directed a shitload of Lost episodes, and as well as Alias, and he directed Child's Play 3, which is one of the lesser Chucky movies. Right, so Martin.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? What did you think of Rewind?
Well, Jimmy, it was fine. It didn't do anything particularly wrong. It was rather similar to several moderately successful things. And, you know, there's nothing I can point to and say, well, that was terrible. Unlike several other pilots we've discussed previously. However,
yes.
My God, was it dull and cliched.
Mm-hmm.
And so slow. Why was it an hour and 15 minutes? You could have gotten that into 45.
Absolutely. Agree with you 100%.
The characters were so bland.
So I was thinking that in the very first scene we get with the lead actor, who I can't remember his name.
I would have enjoyed it more if it was a miniseries on Dishwater.
Yes. Shane McRae. He's interrogating, the director, David Cronenberg.
Which has to be the What's He Doing There award of 2013.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's up there with Herzog being in the Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah, Jack Reacher. The very first scene has he's interrogating Rourke, who's played by David Cronenberg, and David Cronenberg's not an actor. But in that first scene, David Cronenberg was far superior to the main guy.
Yeah.
And watching that, I was like, oh dear, is this our lead?
Hey, this interrogation scene seems to be by the numbers. I know. I'll have the character go against orders and lock the door.
Yeah, that's cliched as all hell.
Yeah.
We open in New York, where a nuclear device is set to go off.
The perpetrator, Dr. Benjamin Rourke, is in CIA headquarters in Langley, Virginia, but he refuses to talk. Agent Sean Knox locks himself in with Rourke and uncuffs him to show trust, I guess. But then he spins his wedding band in front of him because he took it off his finger when he was uncuffing him.
It was apparently important that he was married.
Well, Rourke being married is basically the whole point of this thing, though. And it is bloody ridiculous, his reasoning for killing 9 million people.
For a better I Want My Wife Back time travel escapade, check out the Year of Hell two-parter on Star Trek Voyager.
Yes, I'll take your word for it.
There, now the Voyager scales are balanced.
you've mentioned it twice.
Yeah, I slagged it off and then I complimented it.
Yeah, good.
But yeah, Year of Hell, it's the episodes everyone's like, oh, if the whole thing was like that, it would be good.
Yeah, I hate shows like that, where they have like one good episode that you can look at and go, you know, if the rest was just like this, imagine Rewind, if it got picked up, would have been like that.
Yes.
They would probably have one or two solid episodes, and then the rest would be dull like this. But I want to like alliterate, this isn't bad. This isn't awful. It's just nothing new that you haven't seen before.
It just monumentally fails to be any good.
It fails at being bad as well.
Yeah.
I think it's just sort of in the middle.
Exactly.
And this thing aired, I think it was actually originally made for NBC, but NBC didn't want it, so Sci-Fi Channel showed it, or SIFI.
Yeah, they're like a subsection of the same company.
So owned by Universal.
I mean, I assume they aired it after they'd made it and dropped it in a, well, we spent the money, we might as well, you know, fill an hour.
Put it on the Sci-Fi Channel, yeah. And it's also, you can rent it online for money. You can also see it on Netflix in the US or Canada, I think. So it's there.
Yeah.
Rourke is not a terrorist, but he's still pissed off at the fact that his wife died 37 years ago.
So he put a nuke in Manhattan.
Yes, to make a point.
I think they're trying... I don't think this came across particularly well, the idea that he knew about the secret government time travel project.
He did. That's the attention he's trying to get. He's blowing up Manhattan to give them stakes to use the time travel device to go back to save his wife.
They sort of have Maney McMaine bloke go, hey, did he know about this? But
yes.
Not actually make that as clear as they perhaps could.
Yes. No, they absolutely should have made it clearer. But from what I got from it is, yeah, absolutely, that's exactly what he was doing. Because he did say to... Rourke says to Knox, you're the one that's going to save my wife. Like, he's not clairvoyant. I don't know how he knew that it was going to be Rourke. Sorry, Knox that goes back in time to do it.
No.
Knox's ex-wife, I think, or they're just having a bit of a break. Jess is in New York, unbeknownst to him at the time. Rourke says it is Knox who will save his wife, blah, blah, blah. But then he grabs a gun from one of the agents who come in the door and he shoots himself in the head. New York blows up, 9 million people die. Credits. Opening credits. Not end credits. That would have been the shortest pilot and that would have been, you know, good.
That was not a good nuclear explosion effect, I must say.
No. And I can't even say that it's because the pilot wasn't finished. Because it clearly was.
And put on television.
And available for rental in places. 1 month later, Knox is haunted by the events of the bombing and he's got loads of
and
stuff.
And in prison.
Yes, I'm just going to say that. Thanks, Mark. Loads of stuff on his wall of his cell.
You know, you don't actually need me here. It could just be you reading this.
Martin, I do need you. If you let me get through this, we'll discuss things.
If only my parents had said that to me just once.
His general friend visits him and says, look, there's a facility, you're going to come to it. You've got 48 hours to come and see this, and...
You know, you get performers sometimes who have, like, genuine military experience.
Yeah.
And you watch the performance, and you're like, oh, wow, this guy knows what he's talking about. I didn't get that from this chap at all.
General Webb, I think he is. No, he's not... I've seen him before in certain things, but I can't really... He's one of those actors that I recognise the face of, but I can't actually say where I've seen him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Did you recognise him?
No. The only one I recognised was Hoodie McGunthief, who was a Cylon on Battlestar Galactica.
Wait a minute. You didn't recognise Lapidus from Lost? Frank Lapidus?
I have not watched Lost in a very long time.
He was in season 4, 5 and 6. He was the pilot.
Who was he in this?
Ellis. He looks exactly the
Ellis?
Same. They're exactly the same. The old NASA technician guy.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen Lost since it went off telly in 10 years ago.
The next day, Knox and his partner Danny, who was the last person to talk to Jess, are at the facility where they meet Dr. Lindsay Bryce. She's sceptical that Knox and Danny are of any use, but, you know, Knox proves himself to be kind of smart, I guess. He says something and then she's like, yeah, okay, fair enough.
Her role was the... sort of biggest crossover or like similarity to Timeless in the scientist lady's coming with us.
Yeah.
Although in Timeless she's a historian lady, so that's not really similar at all.
No, it is.
I suppose there's a military chap, a lady one, and another one as the time travel team. Yeah, that's similar.
Not just another one, an African-American one. See, that's its significance. In Timeless, there's the historian lady, the military man, and the technician guy, Whereas this one, but he also happens to be black, but this one is the woman who created the thing, who's smart, and military guy, and the other one, who doesn't actually serve any purpose.
Yeah, if I was this writer and I saw Timeless, I'd be crying into my my heaps of Jungle Book money.
Yeah, he's all right. He's getting paid. He's currently writing the Jungle Book 2. He's all right. He's doing fine. Mm. So we get a wee tour of the facility, but we get... basically, they've created a time machine. But this is slightly different from other time machine shows, in a way. It's a time window.
It's a time machine Stargate.
Yes, but it's a window that just opens up randomly, and it doesn't really... You don't know where or when it's going to open up.
Like on Sliders?
That's not...
Or Quantum Leap?
Yes, but...
It's exactly the same on Sliders. It's like, oh, we're going to another thing, and we've only got a set window, and we don't know what the other thing is.
No, but what I'm saying is that the way it's presented is different. It's just a big window in the room that they step into, whereas Sliders, they jump into a portal and don't know what the hell's going on. And, you know what I mean? It's not like they can see at the other side.
Yeah, but this one, they step through and they have that weird step printing slow motion. Blah.
That was really weird. A white room type thing.
Although not as weird as Star Trek 4, where everyone spends a moment being CGI.
We meet Ellis, the engineer.
Hey, wasn't he in Lost?
He was. He's played by Jeff Fahey, who has been around for... since the 80s. He's acted in so many things in the 80s and 90s, and he retired from acting because he went abroad to do humanitarian work, and he came back to do Lost while he was still doing his humanitarian work, I think, but they offered him a lot of money, so he came back and did it, I think. Where am I? Blah 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 blah. Aye. And we also meet Priya, who's played by Oscar nominee Keisha Castle Hughes.
What was her nominee for?
Whale Rider.
Ah.
Yes, she was a little girl in Whale Rider. And I think Priya's the historian, I think. Is that her job? She's the know-all, basically, but she knows where everything's from. And
what I notice about all these, whenever they have the historian character on time travel shows, it's always like, oh... Here's an obscure detail about this week's plot that you'll find really useful. And it's never, you know, that's not how historians work. They tend to know, you know, a lot about a couple of very specific things and not much else.
Yeah.
But I did like the detail that the costumes had all come from the Smithsonian Museum. There was a meme going around sewing Facebook of why do they never do the time travel movie where they're like, let's go to ancient Rome, and the seamstress is like, no, you're going to the Wild West because that's what I've been able to sew.
There's an element in here that's the same as Timeless as well, as they've got all the costumes already.
Yeah, and like the whole Stargate style base with a NASA style operation. Yeah.
Absolutely. But the operation isn't supposed to happen for another 3 years.
And that makes it more exciting, or cliched.
Yes. No, I understand that.
Oh, no, they did have a line about how they'd just phoned up the museum to send it all over.
Right. Fair enough. I must have missed that. Right. You just offended this pilot, Martin.
But now I'm wondering, I don't think they mention the yield of the bomb in New York. But seeing how close DC is, there's a fair chance that anything from the Smithsonian would have been irradiated.
True. An alarm goes off and the window is changing from an English field to a basement-looking area.
I was going to say that this lacked a distinct sense of wonder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you kind of wanted to be like, time travel, you can see the past, it's right there and it's all real. And then they're like, we are looking at a field in Gloucestershire. And it's like, well, how can you get excited about that? you know, unless there's a music festival that weekend.
Yeah, I can't remember what year they said it was. So.
The 30s.
But, so maybe there were some Morris dancers or something kicking about.
I want to see that. Time-travelling Morris dancers trying to rewrite history so everyone doesn't think Morris dancing is crap.
That would take, what, 10 seasons, maybe? Ellis has a teeny tiny camera that he puts into the window, and they find out that from a newspaper that the date is March 8th, 1929. They are in DC, I think, is it?
Yeah.
And they're in DC. So that was a coincidence.
Yes.
Just when they needed to go.
I'm always surprised that no one ever invents a time machine and tries it out only to find that they're in the vacuum of space because the Earth rotates. Mm. Because not only does the Earth move around the Sun, but the Sun, as part of a galaxy, is moving away from the galactic centre.
Right. You know too much about that, man. No, you don't, actually. You know just enough.
Hooray!
So the gist that the window's going to close in about 17 hours. The plan is originally to kill Rourke's father to ensure that he won't be born, which is nice. But we have a ripple machine that shows what might happen if you mess something up.
Well, that could come in useful lately.
Yeah, that would, right now that would be amazing to have.
Yeah.
It would.
Hey, simulate the timeline where Firefly didn't get cancelled.
There would have been no castle for 8 years.
And that's a good thing.
It is, actually. That would be strange, wouldn't it?
I never watched much of Castle.
No, I know. But what I'm thinking is,
what, a government investing billions of dollars in revolutionary technology that could change humanity as we know it and using it to watch TVs? Yeah, that would be a bit strange.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, Nathan Fillion is currently on a TV show. And it's just gone into its second season this year. So everything would be completely different for him.
Well, no, because it's just a simulator. So he'd still be Nathan Fillion, but they could simulate the timeline where he had a different job.
No, I know, but I'm just talking about if we could actually change that to make that happen, because that's what the simulator is. You can change it.
So you're saying if you could turn back time, you could find a way...
Yeah, take back what I said that hurt you and you'd stay.
Exactly.
Knox remembers Rourke's wife and then asks to see present day New York if she was still alive, and it'd be fine. So the mission is to save the wife, just like Rourke said that Knox would do.
I love this bit that they're like, oh, well, we can go back to 1929. Oh, cool. Well, let's kill the guy's father so he's never born. Oh, that won't work out. Oh, what if we save his wife? Yeah, let's kill this guy instead.
Yes, they do work out that this guy, Marsden, who murdered the wife, it's low risk if they kill him because he just ends up in prison and stuff anyway, so it doesn't really matter. The ripple effect is very small for him.
Yeah.
Whereas if you make sure Rourke doesn't live, then he doesn't become a physicist and certain things don't get invented and... Japan goes to shit or something.
That's pretty much how it works.
So the general's gone back to DC and Knox asks him if Rourke knew about the time travel machine. The general says it's possible and that he always believed Knox. So what we learn here is that the general is going back to DC and he's going to forget everything because if they change stuff, they are all in like a protective bubble.
Yeah, this is City on the Edge of Forever rules, where anyone around the time machine won't notice any changes, but the outside world will be changed.
So yeah, you're right. It is not original at all.
No.
My argument earlier about the window was not that it was an original concept, but that its presentation was something that you don't usually see.
Yeah.
That you could just see, oh, it's a window and there's a basement. And you could probably see a janitor walk past every now and then.
It's difficult to do a time travel show like this where they've got a time portal, because if it's just like, oh, we've got a time portal, oh, we didn't stop them, oh, let's just do another time portal to half an hour ago and try again. But you sometimes sort of go the other way where it's like, oh, we've got a time portal, but it only goes back 7 days. And finding that balance where you have enough rules that the story works as a story, but not so much that it just seems ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually, the Avengers managed to handle quite well in their latest film.
Endgame?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just went along with it. I was just sitting there for 3 hours just enjoying myself. I wasn't really thinking about time travel or how it shouldn't work.
So. And it shouldn't, as we've already established.
Yes, of course. It's something that's impossible. So.
Well, it's not impossible. In theory, if you were able to turn a black hole round on itself and tie it in a knot, you would be able to travel back in time, but only to the moment that the portal was created and not before.
Yes.
Well, that's what Einstein thought anyway.
So it's impossible then, is what you're saying.
It's not impossible, it's just jolly tricky.
Yeah, but actual time travel is impossible.
No, it's not impossible. You're doing it right now. Doing it in a different direction, that's trickier.
Yes, going back in time to certain periods in history, say the 1920s, that's not possible.
But
it's not possible,
yet.
Martin.
Unless you're Cher.
Yes. Well.
No, Jimmy, the whole point of her song is that she couldn't do that.
Yes, I was just going to say that. I was actually genuinely just going to go, no, wait a minute.
You know, this is your podcast and you could edit it so that you say that first and look really cool. And then cut to me saying something like, my word, you got in quick there, Jimmy. You look so cool.
So, anyway, if the team gets stuck in the past, they're going to die. they've got suicide pills to take because it'll be quite messy having... Although that's still a bit strange because their bodies will still be there.
Yeah.
And no one will be able to identify their bodies. So either way, it's probably best if they just stayed alive and then just stayed out of sight. They could have become bootleggers.
Yeah.
In 1929, the trio steal a car, but one that is used by someone who's working a night shift at a hotel. So there should be no ripples if it is missing. I do like that.
Like sometimes you get a really clever idea shown visually and... Mm. They're like, oh, we need a car and one that won't be missed. And let's run our computer analysis on all the cars until we find one. And the guy gets out wearing with a bellhop's uniform. And you just sort of have a moment of, ah. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, yes, now let's run our computer analysis on it for 5 minutes. And it's like, that was a clever little beat. Just. You don't need all that other time. This doesn't need to be over an hour.
No, you're right. It doesn't. Which is why I'm trying to go through this very, very quickly. I didn't mean that, like, don't talk. I mean, I've written more than I'm actually saying here. Because when I'm writing it, I'll just write down basically everything.
No one appreciates how much work you put into these.
No, no one does. But, you know, I don't even appreciate it.
I do.
Thank you, Martin. That's very nice of you.
I won't remember because I'm outside the Drop the Pilot hub.
Yes.
When the changes occur.
Yeah, when the changes occur, you'll remember nothing. You won't even remember recording this. Danny realises that since it's 1929, he'd be the driver, which is something that Timeless does as well.
Yeah.
But there was a lot more emphasis on his race than there is in Danny's race here. It's just basically, oh, I'd be the driver and then that's it. There's no real mention of him being black throughout the rest of the episode.
Yeah, they sort of do a tip of a hat to it and then move on.
Yeah, it's almost as though Danny was written to be white, but they got an African-American actor to play him because they liked the actor, and then they just added that bit in. Which is probably why there's no other mention of it. So, back home, Ellis sees that something has happened that has brought the deadline up sooner. The government dude, whose name I didn't write down, but he's there as part of the government, he says that 3 hours is enough to complete the mission, and who cares if they die in the process? And Ellis and the others aren't happy about that, because the government dude's been a douche, as government dudes usually are.
And he's a Cylon.
Yes, he's the Cylon dude, is he?
Yeah.
And I never watched Battlestar.
Oh man, watch that and do a podcast about it. It's so much better. I just rewatched season one recently, and it's so good.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know why I never watched it.
Because you hate joy.
I don't hate joy. I love joy.
Although, to be fair, it's not exactly joyful. It's quite dark in places because of that.
I do like joy. So the next scene that we see our trio, it's nighttime. So they only have 3 hours, but it's suddenly nighttime. So I don't know how much time has actually passed.
No, it wasn't very clear.
No.
I don't know when it was published, but this does kind of remind me of 11/20/63, the Stephen King novel that they did as a series with...
James Franco.
James Franco in the... Well, we can go back in time, but it's a bit early.
I think that's one of his newer books.
Yeah.
Like Under the Dome as well was kind of new before the TV series got made.
Yeah, I'm not saying this is copied that, but I'm just saying that in the genre that's another thing it has similarities to.
We see Marsden, who's keeping guard as his mates rob a jewellery store or something. I don't know. He's outside keeping an eye. And the trio find out that they're actually lost, and Priya works out that they are 9 miles out from where they should be, turning to cause an accident and get Charlie to check for ripples, but the guy's a bootlegger, so he's not going to tell the police.
I like the idea of them getting lost, but this was the point where I was like, if I didn't have to record, you know, if I didn't have to answer questions on it, I would probably have clicked off at this point. Because, like, the whole, oh no, ripples. Oh wait, there's no ripples. Let's hand wave that. You know, got a bit tiresome.
Yeah, I don't mind that, though, because of the bootlegging thing. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
But if that is going to be something that was going to happen all the time...
It would be better if the characters had worked that out rather than the show just going, oh, wait, it's fine, twist.
Yeah, 1929, you think Priya would have known this already, that that's when bootlegging was a thing.
Yeah.
All of this should have been worked out in advance. All the roads that they need to take later on that are hidden and stuff like that. That all should have been worked out before.
Yeah.
Kind of pointless. Marsden sees a police car and he runs inside. The cops get out the car just as the trio drive up. So they got there very, very quickly in 9 miles.
How fast did cars go in 1929?
Not that fast. I don't know. I'm not a car expert anyway.
If only we had Zarban on this one.
Yeah, he would have known. Bryce says that they've missed their chance, but Knox doesn't listen. There's a shootout between the cops and the crooks, and Marsden gets left behind. So we don't find out what happens to the rest of the crooks. They just get chased by the cops. Ellis, going against the government guy's orders, tells them that they're running out of time. Despite this, Knox runs after Marsden, and Bryce and Danny follow in the car. So, you sent me the original script.
Yes.
And I went through it, and a lot of it is the same, but this is where things start to change. So, here... They find Marsden in a shack with his kid sister, who the computer didn't factor into the equation because she dies in 2 years. The team debate it, and Knox approaches Marsden and tells him if he continues down this path, his sister will die.
Ziggy says there's an 86% chance.
Yep, exactly. Very Quantum Leap. It just made me want to watch Quantum Leap again, to be honest. After almost killing him via train, Knox lets him go and tells him not to make him come back. Marsden says he won't. Right. In the original script, it's Marsden's daughter, not his sister.
Huh, that's a weird change.
Yeah, because it's not as though Marsden's, like, a teenager or anything.
Well, I suppose if it's his daughter, then you'd be like, well, presumably there's a mum somewhere that can sort things out if he's dead.
Possibly. Now the trio have to get back. Ellis tells them they have 40 minutes left. On the other hand, the plan worked and New York is saved, and Marsden is now a war hero, which is nice.
So... basically, now they've changed time so that he dies several decades sooner.
Who, Marsden?
Yeah.
No.
He doesn't die in World War II?
No. I don't think they said he died in World War II. He's just a war hero. He's a decorated war hero. So he changed his path and he didn't become the mugger who killed Rourke's wife.
Good.
He made something of his life. Yeah, so Priya remembers that bootleggers are a thing and they find a hidden road back to DC. They get in the car back in time, but the window starts to move and they get stuck. Nah, I'm just kidding, they made it. Right. So there's hugs all round, successful mission. During the celebrating, Knox goes above ground to go find his wife. Government man sits in a chair in front of the changing window and smokes a cigar.
What was that whole bit where he goes up to the other guy and was like, what did you see when you went back in time? And he was like, buy me a coffee first.
They're gay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the implication.
There was no, like...
Yeah, there was no flirting or anything. There was no, they didn't really notice each other
before. They were just sort of having a chat, and then they were like, oh, you're chatting me up. And it's like, I thought he was just your boss or something.
Yeah, but I don't even know if that's it. The implication I got from that line was that they were gay.
Yeah.
And... because there's never really any mention of Danny's sexuality throughout it. So Jess and Knox talk, but she's not sure about them getting back together. Government man pulls out a gun, puts it in his coat, like a big, really nice big sort of parka he puts on, and he steps into a snowy window. So I don't know where the hell he's going.
Despite the fact they established that they don't know what the next window will be.
Exactly. They haven't got a clue. He hasn't been told where it is. He just sits there and waits till it opens and then just goes in. It could be anywhere.
Also, if this is the past, anywhere icy would be quite low on my agenda.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, what are you going to do? Oh, I hope someone turns up soon. 6 months later. Oh, hi Shackleton, where's your boat?
To be fair, he could have ended up in Scotland in March.
Yeah.
Bryce notices something on a screen and warns the others... Knox can no longer hear Jess on the phone, and he sees a shadow covering the street outside. The end. That's it. Absolutely no clue what happened there whatsoever, and we'll never, never, ever know.
Nope.
So, the original script. They're not in 1929. It's the 60s they're in, actually. I just remembered that. That's a big change. Mm-hmm. A lot of it's just the same. They get back, and Danny realises that he has left... his communicator back in the past, so now they can't communicate with the outside world anymore. They're all stuck in the bunker. Everything's all walled up where the elevators and that used to be, so they're all just stuck in this bunker with no idea what's happening in the outside world. So the setup is they discover that they have, I can't remember how many they say, there's a bunch of 20-something, probably 21, if they were going for a full season, anomalies in the past that they've caused, and they have to go jump in the windows and go back and fix these anomalies.
Well, that's a stronger setup, certainly.
It's much stronger than a shadow. Do you think that would have improved it?
Like, not massively, but it would have been something.
Yeah.
I know, this kind of felt like it was, you didn't see this coming.
I would have done a mixture of the two.
Yeah.
I would have had the government guy jump in a window and then they have to go back and fix it. Which is what happens in Timeless, granted.
Yeah.
But...
what I liked about Timeless is the pilot was set on the Hindenburg, which... I'll be honest, was the only reason I watched it, because Zeppelins are awesome.
Right.
They don't quite manage to stop the evil time travellers from completing their mission, and it ends up blowing up, but on the way back from America rather than as it landed. And they get back, and what's his name from Peep Show is just like, what are you on about? That's history. That's when the Hindenburg blew up. And they sort of just go, close enough.
But then the historian woman realises that her sister no longer exists.
Yeah. Whereas this, it just kind of... it had the tropes and the old tropes, not even like, you know, you've had some much more interesting things done with time travel. There's a Spanish film from about 15 years ago called Time Crimes, which is a terrible title.
Right,
but it's
yeah.
Brilliant. Just go and find that, Run, Don't Walk.
Oh, well.
You know, which plays about with some of these ideas without, you know, bends them without breaking them.
Right.
And
I've heard of it, but I've never watched it. I should.
Yeah, it's a fun film.
I do like time travel stories, so I don't know why it's one I've never watched.
You know what could have improved this with one cast change? Make the government bloke Robert Patrick.
Right.
So when he goes off at the end, it's Terminator 2.
Yeah, that would make it good. But no, it wouldn't. It would still be shit. But at least Robert Patrick would be in it. We've said it before, but it's just dull. There's just nothing. They could have cut a lot of it out, just made it 45, 50 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for joining me, Martin, and thank you all for listening. Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.